From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Wednesday, February 5th, 2025. I'm your host, Boston Christopher, Gunnath Chi, Shawa, Tuxik Newsom, Salama. Thank you for joining the conversation. Today, a peek ahead and live music from Juno Jazz Week, which begins tonight. The Juno Douglas City Museum previews their upcoming show, Human Nature, and the Southeast Alaska Farmers Market is happening February 20th through the 22nd. We find out how you can participate. Those conversations, live music, and more coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon.
Support from Hanson Gress. Seeking curious people who like technology, network engineering, and customer support. Opportunities for those who thrive on problem solving. Details at hansongress.com/careers.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Kushtuk'u Bill Fawcett. And the word this week is dleit.
Dleit.
That means snow. And here's a sentence. It's really snowing. Let's hear it again. Snow. Gunnath Chi Chuchne Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Kushtuk O'ish Bill Fawcett was Slukach Adi and the child of a Southern Toshone man who passed away before Bill was born. His mother later married Tsihua Bill Fawcett, who helped raise Bill. He lived on Occoquan Ani and enjoyed working with advanced language learners, helping them answer difficult questions about the language.
And tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
Thank you.
why don't you make your way around all that equipment over here, Kyle? That is the Kyle and Thade Dance Party. A couple members of the group. They are part of the Juno Jazz Fest, which is beginning tonight. You are listening to Community Supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm Boston Christopher. The Juno Jazz Fest is a four-day jazz festival, which Kyle and Thade Dance Party will be headlining. There's going to be jazz jams, a pub crawl, free and ticketed concerts, school visits and assemblies, workshops and clinics and family concerts and all sorts of stuff. And it is going to be full of activity throughout the next 4 days. It all kicks off tonight with, I believe it's the Jazz Jam? What is happening tonight, Kyle?
We call it the Jazz Ramble.
The Ramble. What is a ramble?
So you ramble on to a bunch of different venues, and there are going to be great local Juno musicians playing at all of them. And I think there's even prizes to be won if you can prove on your stamp card that you've gone to all the venues.
Oh, all right. Okay, so that's going to be cool. I know we have Rachel here from the Juno Jazz and Classics who can maybe tell us like what people would win if they go to all these places.
We have two seats on Coastal Helicopters flight and some day passes for Eagle Crest, too.
Oh, awesome.
So pretty sweet.
And so all you have to do, you have to follow along the journey of tonight's ramble. So you're going to be going to different locations?
Different locations, different bands are playing. And I don't know all the names of all the bands. I wonder if you can tell us our lineup. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, so start out at the Triangle Club Bar. Like, if you go there, you'll be golden because we'll have the passports there, like the little paper that you can get for all your stamps. If you show up at 5, between 5 and 7 at the Triangle Club Bar, you'll be good to go. And then from 6 to 8 at Spice Cafe and Gallery, we'll have Hot Club of Juno. So at the Triangle, Baba Thade is going to be playing, who is part of the Kyle Thade Big Band.
Mm-hmm.
Vicky Van Fleet and Marion Call are going to be playing along with him. And then Hot Club of Juno at Spice Cafe at 6. Rob Cohen and the Bop on the Head Quintet at the Alaskan Hotel. I know, that's great, isn't it? And then Luke Weld is going to, and guests are going to finish it off at the Crystal Saloon, which is where we'll be doing the drawing. And also we'll be having a jazz jam for anybody in the community who plays, who wants to just come out and jam with the artists.
I love that. Okay, that's really cool. All right, so well, let's first, let's go back to you, Kyle. So the Kyle and Thade Dance Party, I believe this is at least your second year here, if not more, coming to town. What is the Kyle and Thade Dance Party?
The Kyle and Thade Dance Party is the name of my band, which is a around 20-piece big band. And we play all kinds of music, but we actually started out playing for a dance party. So that's where the name came from. And we've been doing a bunch of teaching and outreach performances already in these first 2 days of this week for the Jazz Fest. And this is, the second year of the Jazz Festival. So it's our second time in Juno, although we've been coming to Southeast Alaska a lot for the Sitka Jazz Festival.
I see. Okay. And I know we still have some band members showing up. We're having a little sort of mini concert in here in the Studio 2K dedicated to Carolyn Hobbs Peterson. We have keyboards and drums and it looks like a saxophone player just showed up, and who else? Just a guitar player, maybe? Yeah, a guitar player just showed up. So we're going to have a little bit more music as they sort of get settled in. It's really great. So can you tell us who else we have here in the studio, Kyle? Don't worry about making noise. It's all good. Whatever you need to do.
It's live, baby.
It's a behind-the-scenes live radio show. We might as well. So
we heard from Phil Keane on the bass, who is one of the original members of the dance party. He was on all the first gigs that we did. We went to school together, and the song we always end our concerts with is called It Feels So Good, and it's written for Phil. So we love having him. And
okay.
Then fresh off the Eagle Crest slopes is Eddie Barbash, who I often call our all-star soloist. And Eddie just joined us. He's a great alto saxophonist.
My first time skiing in Alaska.
Oh, nice. How did you enjoy Eagle Crest?
It was great.
Awesome.
Loved it. Got up on Pittman's Ridge there. It was beautiful skiing. Beautiful view of Admiralty.
Whew.
Loved it.
Love it. That's so good. And Phil, you were playing the bass there. How long have you been playing the bass?
I've been playing the bass for almost 30 years.
30 years. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty awesome. And to me, when I was a kid, it didn't matter if it was a jazz band, a rock band, or any kind of music group, I always thought the bass player was the coolest one. Are you the coolest one?
I think so.
Because they just get, you know, it's like they get like it's like, well, how many strings do you have on that bass?
There's four strings.
Four strings, and it's just like, you know, you just chill. You just chill, baby, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I love that.
Just lay it down.
And then we just had our guitarist and drummer join us as well. They are fresh off of the plane. They just flew from Southern California, I think. And Gabe here is our guitarist.
Hi, Gabe.
Hello.
Yeah. Hi.
Gabe, is this your first time in Juno?
It is.
All right.
It's amazing.
This is awesome. So exciting.
It's incredible.
Good. Yeah. I'm so glad you're here. Gun of the Chiefs for being here today.
So yeah, Gabe Schneider on guitar, and then our drummer is Ben Ring, who has come up to Alaska before to play in the holiday brass concert in Sitka. But have you been to Juno before?
No.
All right. So we got a lot of first-timers here.
Awesome. That's so great. Well, we're going to play some more music because, to me, the best-selling point of the Jazz Week is the music. But, Rachel, will you grab the mic again and just let us know, sort of as they sort of get set up here and tuned and all that, what are we expecting for public performances? What can people who are listening go to this week? Or if there's still time, because I know there's a lot of like student workshops and other workshops that are available to the community. Can you run it all down for us?
Absolutely. So if you forget all of what I'm about to say to you, you can always go to jazzandclassics.org/jazzfest, and we'll have the full schedule. You can purchase tickets there. You can see everything you need to know about Jazz Fest on our website, jazzandclassics.org. But we have two ticketed concerts, one Friday night and one Saturday night, where we'll have student showcases starting at 5:30 at Juno Douglas High School. So the band will be working with the students during the day all week, and then those students, those jazz student bands, will be playing for you what they've been learning that night. And then Eddie Barbash on Friday night with the Jazz Fest Symphony will be playing at 7, and then the full Kylethay Dance Party is playing on Saturday night at 7 o'clock. Everything at the JDHS High School.
Wow, that is amazing. And I know that you said the website to get basically all the rundown of this is at jazzandclassics.org/jazzfest. It's the next 4 days. It begins tonight, as Kyle was saying, with the Ramble, which will be all over town, and we're assembling the drums as we speak. I love this, especially when you haven't even seen these guys. You just came right from the airport, and here you are.
Yeah.
I love that. So we have the Myrtle microphone there, and I think it will probably pick up. Actually, why don't you move this mic back over there towards Mr. Barbash, and we'll make sure that. Let me turn this up here. We're going to do some live situation here, some live tuning, whatever we need to do. I'm sure the sax is going to blow us out anyway, which is also awesome. And I love that sax, dude. Look at that thing. How long have you had that?
Oh.
Right into the microphone there.
I've had it since I was 17, and I'm about to be 36.
So you do the math.
Yeah, you guys leave that up to you.
He just got off the slopes, man. He's not doing no math.
I'm fried.
Awesome. Okay, so shall we try to play something? I'll see if I can mix it up a little bit, but it looks like. Thank you. That's what I'm talking about, a little smooth jazz. I like, too, there, Kyle, if you can make it back your way over the microphone again, you were looking at, I forgot the bass player's name already.
Phil.
Phil, right. Phil's good, right? Phil's good. Feels keen. Feels keen. but you were like looking at each other there a little bit near the end as you were playing. Were you just sort of, was it riffing there a little bit? What were you doing?
So there were a couple of things we were doing. The first thing we were doing was trying to get lined up on the form, because that song that Eddie just started playing without any warning is a song by Juan Teasel, the valve trombonist with Duke Ellington, called Moon Over Cuba. And that song is notable because it's an AABA form, which is very standard, but the A sections are 10 bars instead of 8 bars, which is very not standard. And not only are they 10 bars, but the 10 bars are divided into 5 and 5. So you don't even get to do 4-bar phrases and feel comfortable. You have to be counting. And so the first chorus, we all were looking at each other and making sure we were right, and we were right, and it was great. And then it got into the solos, and then I just started bombing and just really missing everywhere. And then I looked at Phil, and Phil had this strange look at me. Then I looked at Gabe, and everyone was started looking at me, and I was like, am I not right? And I was like, oh, I'm definitely not right. So mostly we're all just looking at each other to make sure it's cool. And we're looking to see, okay, who's going to solo next? And when we're doing a drum solo for Ben, maybe we're doing some hits and we're saying, okay, wait, let's do a hit on this bar or that bar. So there's a lot of different communication going on. Mostly it's just the rest of the band trying to make me look good when I'm making my mistakes.
Well, it sounded great. It was really cool to watch. I don't think we've ever had drums in the studio. Like a full drum kit in here, so that's been pretty awesome. Now, I know you all do a lot of education, training. You go into the schools, you do workshops. Tell me the importance of doing that work, and it's a big part of what you do with the dance party, right?
It's huge. It's one of our favorite things, and it's something that's so special about this festival is that we get to do so many outreach programs, we get to do so many clinics and workshops, working with the school bands, working with individual students. And all of us had really formative experiences as students, some of us in our young years, some of us even in college, but almost everyone you meet who's an experienced musician can point to at least one teacher that made an impact on them. And it's just so exciting to have kids get enthused about the music that you're playing and to ask you questions about it and for you to be able to show them sort of the next step for them to take that enthusiasm forward into their playing careers, whether they go pro or just play for fun at home. Just the very fact of having adults inspire students is a really important thing that a lot of times kids don't get that from the monotony of everyday classrooms. And of course, there's a bunch of great classroom teachers. My dad was a band teacher for 40 years. But it's really nice to bring a fresh set of perspectives in to inspire the students.
Yeah, absolutely. Eddie, can you hop on the mic there? Eddie Barbash. So the idea of influencing, like if a young kid was like, man, that sax is like, I'm in my 50s and I'm like, that sax is cool. I wish I could play that.
Yeah.
And the opportunity to sort of empower them or sort of inspire them to maybe think about doing that. And if you can like affect one kid to become like a sax player, does that give you the warm feelings, the warm fuzzies?
You know, I think it's less about getting another kid to play saxophone as much as just connecting with a kid in any way, really.
Yeah.
I think Kyle was sort of alluding to this, that it's less of maybe a do-gooder type of deed than you might think, in that we get a lot out of it. It's what we do is sort of so, we've put our whole lives into it, and it's so niche, especially playing jazz music, that to be able to talk to anybody who's excited about it and wants to learn from us and hear what we have to say about this thing that we've devoted our lives to is a really exciting thing for us,
yeah,
as people who've put so much into this. So
it's
just really nice to connect with anybody, and especially kids.
Yeah, and I always think of it as like, even if they don't become a player, that they're exposed to this style of music, and maybe they become a listener, and they become an appreciator of it throughout the rest of their life. And they recognize the different composers or different things, or they understand, like, oh yeah, we got to pick up Kyle because he's messing up, right? And they can start to hear that. And I can't, but I think that's really cool that that kids can get inspired to at least become listeners, if not players, as well.
And even just for kids to be exposed to people that have such a passion for something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's really cool. Well, can we go out with one more little something-something? Can we do a little something else? And then and we'll hear a little bit of that, and then we'll take a break here on Juno Afternoon from KTOO. This is Juno Jazz Week. The Kyle Athade Dance Party is headlining all kinds of events. It's beginning tonight with the Ramble, and you can find out more information and get the full schedule over at jazzandclassics.org/jazzfest. I really appreciate y'all being here. Gunathcheesh, here's a little bit more of the Kyle Athade Dance Party.
This one is dedicated to the weather this week in Juneau.
Of jazzandclassics.org/jazzfest all this week. New shows and more with the Juno Douglas City Museum. But first, a rich tradition. This is Juno Afternoon from KTOO.
I was in the British Museum. One of the West Indians who worked there started up a conversation with me and wanted to know where I was from.
I'm Yosef Surrett. Welcome to A Rich Tradition. Today, few moments with the writer of Go Tell It on the Mountain, the novelist, essayist, playwright, poet, and social critic, James Baldwin.
I told him I was from Harlem, and that answer didn't satisfy him. I was born in Harlem. I was born in Harlem Hospital, I said. New York. None of these answers satisfied him. He said, where was your mother born? And I said, she was born in Maryland. And I could see, but I didn't understand it. He was going more and more disgusted with me, more and more impatient. Where was your father born? My father was born in New Orleans. And then I began to get it. I said, my mother was born in Maryland, my father was born in New Orleans, I was born in New York. Before that, where were you born? And I had to say, I don't know. He did not believe me. I tried to explain, no, don't you care not to find out? And I tried to explain that if I were originally from Dakar, from wherever I was in Africa, I couldn't find out where it was because my entry into America is a bill of sale. That stops you from going any further. At some point in our history, I became Baldwin's nigger. That's how I got my name. Now, you know, that really cannot be considered, you know, my fault. It can't be considered the fault of the cat in the British Museum either, but he doesn't know that I can't find that out. Because when I became Baldwin's nigger, it's also very important to point out, I was handcuffed to another man from another tribe whose language I did not speak. We did not know each other. And we could not speak to each other because if we could have spoken to each other, we might have been able to figure out what was happening to us. We might have been able to prevent it. We would have had, in short, a kind of solidarity, which is a kind of identity, which might have made the history of slavery very different. History of slavery in the North American continent. Well, that didn't happen. And here we are.
This is a rich tradition from AAPRC. A Rich Tradition was produced by Jim Luce in partnership with WCSU-FM in Wilberforce, Ohio.
AAPRC, the African American Public Radio Consortium.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
Support comes from Juno Composts, recycling the community's food scraps and yard debris into black gold compost since 2017, serving households, businesses, offices, and more with curbside collection and drop-off options. Online at junocomposts.com.
This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. We have new guests in the studio as our previous guests are unpacking and moving out the Kyle Athey Dance Party. Opening this week at the City Museum is Human Nature, a new show featuring mixed-media paintings. And the artists and Kate Ross from the museum join me now. Gunath Cheesh, Yeadi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you all in the studio. Gunath Cheesh for being here. Wasa Iti, how's it going?
Good.
Going great.
Thank you so much for having us.
Awesome. Yeah, you got to enjoy a little music there. That was our largest group I think we've ever had in the studio before. It was kind of cool. Let's introduce yourselves. Tell me your name and what you are, what your main, I guess, your medium is.
Okay. Well, my name is Jackie or Jacqueline Tingey, and I work mostly with acrylic and watercolor painting.
Yep. Yeah, okay. And you are?
I am Jesselyn Ward, and I also work in acrylic on canvas generally. And for the show, I just started doing acrylic and charcoal medium mixtures together, so kind of ventured into something new.
I see. Awesome. Well, that's kind of cool. And so how did you two decide to do a show together?
Well, Jesselyn approached me, actually. So we had met at a couple of markets, I think, and then I think she saw the call for artists and...
Yeah. I thought that when I saw the call for artists that it was February 2024 and that would have been in 3 months from when I saw that call. So I was thinking like, oh, well, I should do this with somebody. That's just so not enough time to put a show together. So I approached Jackie and we ended up doing it together. Yeah.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Yeah.
And Kate, this is part of the ongoing program that the museum has, yeah?
Yeah, so this is one of our solo artist shows that we have throughout the winter. And so we put out the call for artists. The deadline for that call is basically a year and a half before when the first solo artist show is. So like this year, you know, a few months ago, we just finished the application process for the 25-26 year, so all the way for next year. And so, yeah, it sounds like when Jesselyn was looking at it, she thought she only had a couple months.
Yeah.
But surprise, you had like a year, you had like a year and a half. So even more time to put together a really fun show.
And so the show is called Human Nature. And where does that title come from?
Well, I guess it comes from our relationship with nature. You know, we have basically what we did is we chose an entire list of human emotions, feelings, and then we both did a painting based off of that list of words.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So were you, because there was another group in here a couple months ago, and they were talking about working together and in a sense like challenging themselves mm-hmm. to, because you're saying some of this stuff is new for you. You said charcoal, right? It's a little bit newer for you.
Yeah.
So you're sort of outside of your comfort zone, but then also having the support of the person that you're sharing the experience with.
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about how that worked and what was the most challenging for you.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun kind of bouncing ideas off of each other and having one word to work on to make it look like a unified show. And have it come together has also been challenging, but it's pulled together really nicely.
It's definitely had some challenges for me.
Yeah.
Like what?
Yeah.
I think just having those limitations. I mean, we have the one word, and then along with that, like, we've kind of limited our color palette. And so it's just a little more structured and not, you know, you can't just have an idea and put it down on a painting. You've got to put some structure to it.
Yeah, so. I think with this show, it was more of I wanted to challenge myself because I felt like my work in the past needed to be drawing more of an emotional connection to the viewer or some kind of reaction. And this kind of pushed my boundaries too with my work, trying to just rely on past experiences. Like, for example, we have heartbreak or grief or, you know, some of these words that just held a lot of a lot of things coming up. So it was a big process to work on each of these paintings individually too and just kind of reflect on our past.
Where do you start when you have like a word like that? If you start with the word grief, right? And you're thinking visually, what start, can you describe whether it's the grief word or a different word, but can you recall the experience of where you begin? I'm always curious about that beginning of making the art, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think for me, I just have like certain experiences and I kind of draw on those, like what do those experiences make me feel and how do I portray that into a painting? I personally struggle with expressing myself through words, and so painting is how I can do that. Maybe a little more easily, and well, actually, I don't know if it's easily. I don't know how well I actually express myself through painting, but it makes sense to me.
Yeah.
So, do you start with like just paint? Do you just start putting paint to the canvas or whatever it is you're working with, or do you think of like?
No, I usually think of a concept,
okay,
and then kind of plan it out a little bit. I might do a little sketch and then
like a pencil, pencil sketch?
Pencil sketch, or put it on an iPad, something like that. Have a color scheme, maybe.
That's cool. Okay, what about you?
Yeah, I think we have a similar approach, too, and so that's been kind of nice to bounce off ideas each other in that sense, too. But I'll generally do a sketch or have an image in my mind of what I would like to create. And then really just a lot of it is just seeing where the painting wants to go for me. Like, I think that, you know, sometimes we have this idea of like, oh, this is going to look like this, and I have these ideas to put in it, and then you start and it comes out completely different. But, you know, I never regret anything that I'm working on, or, you know, because you always learn from it and you're always going to move forward and have that experience with it too. So,
yeah, that's kind of cool. Yeah, I really like that. So, how many pieces are we going to be seeing at the show?
So we each have 10 individual paintings, and then we did 2 collaborative paintings.
Oh, you did collaborative paintings together.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because it does always feel like art, writing, depending upon what kind it is, but it does feel like it's interesting when people work together because it is such a solo adventure, and it can be a little lonely to work in that. Like if you just gave yourself the word grief,
mm-hmm.
or betrayal or whatever. You did all these dark words.
Yeah.
And then you're like, man, why am I not feeling so good? Why do I want to eat a pint of Haagen-Dazs right now?
We had to make half mix happy yeah. birds yeah. on there too. Yeah.
But at least you can call each other and be like, hey, this is coming up for me. And, mm-hmm. you know, how do I process this? And then getting it down through the visuals. So is it, are the paintings more abstract? Are they more realistic? What kind of feeling do we have inside that?
Like, it's kind of a dreamlike yeah. sense. Like there's realism mixed with nature elements to express
yeah.
what we're trying to portray. So it's kind of like this
but also
surreal...
some abstract elements in
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
So it's like taking, let's say, I don't know, a cabin, but it's not necessarily going to be it's going to have some other things around mm-hmm. it that might be sort of outside, but then you're also putting in
yes.
whatever that abstract part of it would be. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's really yeah. cool. And this opens on Friday?
Yes.
Opens Friday.
It opens yeah. Friday. And Kate, there's an opening night reception thing, I'm sure, for First Friday?
A good old First Friday opening reception.
What time is that at?
4:30 to 7.
4:30 to 7. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's awesome. And that's going to play for the entire month?
Yeah, it's yeah. through the rest of February, which at this point, short month, it's really about 3 weeks. So it's February 7th, Friday, through March 1st. So okay. you got to make sure and come and see it. And these paintings are beautiful. I was watching earlier today as these incredible women were hanging up this artwork. And it's so cool to see the similarities between the paintings, the differences, how they all flow together. And there's a lot of really beautiful, beautiful, vibrant colors. So it looks incredible in the space. So definitely make sure that you make it in and see this because it's up for a month, quote unquote, but it's really a little less.
It's
so don't
lose
out.
It's a few weeks, basically. Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those short months. And of course, admission's still free during the winter?
It is. It's free in February. It's free due to the generous sponsorship by Michelle Storer. So we have a number of different community organizations and individuals that will donate money to keep it free all winter long. So this month that is by Michelle Storer. So thanks to her for that. And then, yeah, so we have our continuing exhibit with Celia Bauer as well. That's up for the next couple weeks. And then, February, we've got a lot of stuff going on in February.
And
I mean,
of
not
course,
a lot.
Well, you know, you always have a lot.
We always have a lot.
But of course, you can go to juno.org/museum. That will give you the rundown. It'll show you mm-hmm. everything going on. It will tell you about Jacqueline and Jesselyn. There's like a rock group right in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a little,
maybe that's what we need to collaborate on next.
You know what? Folk Fest yeah. is coming up. Everybody creates a band for Folk Fest.
Yeah. There you go. That's your Folk Fest band.
I love it. Oh, she has her Folk Fest shirt on yeah. today. I love that.
And she designed it, too.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
you
did.
Oh, that's so great. And it's the 50th year. Oh, man, yes. Folk Fest is going to be so fun. But first, go see the show Human Nature at the Juno Douglas City Museum. Kate, we really appreciate you coming in as always. Go ahead.
I got to plug two fast things.
Do it.
One is Elizabeth Peratrovich Day coming up soon. The actual day is February 16th, excuse me. But we have a lot of fun stuff going on for a whole week from the 14th through the 22nd. So come check that out. That's a great thing for kids. We've got scavenger hunts and prizes and who knows what. The other big deadline in February for us is for the upcoming 12x12. Because that's in March. And so our entry forms are due February 15th. We've got 10 days.
Oh, okay. February
Think about
15th.
Your art. You don't have to have your art done by the 15th, but you have to have enough to fill out the entry form.
Have a concept.
Have a concept. That's have maybe right. a title. Yeah. And give us your $12.12.
That's how much it costs.
That's how much. It's a 12x12. Everything's 12x12x12x12, baby.
I love that. That's so fun. Well, thank you so much, Gunnar the Cheese, for being here. I don't know. What do you say in the art world? You don't say break a leg. What do you say for like a good opening?
Gosh.
Oh.
I know it's mared for the dance companies and.
Bust a brush.
But maybe we have to come up with something.
Bust a brush.
Well, bust a brush.
Yeah. Right.
Thanks so much for being here, Gunnar the Cheese. Okay, up next, a preview of the Southeast Alaska Farmers Summit, a convening of farmers, food advocates, and local enthusiasts happening in just a few weeks here in Juneau. This is Juneau Afternoon from KTOO. But first, a little bird note.
This is Bird Note. Red-headed woodpeckers have mastered the art of high contrast fashion. As their name suggests, both males and females flaunt deep crimson head feathers. Their clean white body feathers are offset by large patches of ink black feathers on their neck, wings, and tail. That bold color-blocking pattern is why these woodpeckers are sometimes called flying checkerboards. Red-headed woodpeckers have lived in open woodlands east of the Rocky Mountains for more than 2 million years, according to fossil records. They used to be one of the most abundant woodpecker species in the U.S., but their populations have been declining for decades, likely due to loss of sufficient dead standing trees where they build their cavity nests. Red-headed woodpeckers are one of only a few woodpecker species known to store food for later. They'll cache fruits, seeds, and even live grasshoppers within natural cracks and crevices, going so far as to hide their hoard under bark and leaves from would-be thieves. Clever birds. For Bird Note, I'm Ariana Rimmel. This episode is dedicated to Bob Goodale, whose lifelong love for birds and nature continues to inspire.
You are listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Joining me now is Haley Goodman from Spruce Root to give us a preview of the Southeast Alaska Farmers Summit happening February 20th through the 22nd at Chapel by the Lake in Auk Bay. And you can register until February 11th. You can go to seakfarmerssummit.com. That's seakfarmerssummit.com/summit-event, or I'm sure if you just go to that main website, you will find it, SEAK Farmers Summit. Gunnith Chishayigudu, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you here, Haley. Joining us via the power of Zoom. Wasiyiti, how's it going?
It's going well. Thanks for having me on. Happy to be here.
Of course. Now, I also know that I think you are sort of new to Alaska, new to Spruce Root. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I am pretty new. So I have been the Community Development Fellow with Spruce Root since September of last year, and I'm based out of Sitka right now. But I actually moved here from New York. So definitely a big change, but so happy to be here.
Wow. Well, I guess the cold and the temperatures aren't that much different, but the environment probably is a little different.
Yes, exactly. I'm used to the cold, unused to everything else, but loving it.
That's so awesome. Well, welcome to Sitka, welcome to Alaska, welcome to Southeast Alaska. So tell us a little bit about the Southeast Alaska Farmers Market. What is it?
Yeah, so the Farmer Summit is gearing up for its 10th anniversary, and it's happening, like you said, at Chapel by the Lake in Auk Bay from the 20th to the 22nd. It's a biennial event that brings together farmers and food growers and market gardeners from all around Southeast Alaska to share ideas and learn different techniques from each other and connect on resources to help increase the amount of locally grown food that's produced in our region.
I see. Okay. So you gave a little bit about who it's for. It's also, can anybody sign up?
Yeah, good question. So a little bit about who can sign up. It's a 3-day event. It's really perfect for growers of any type. So larger scale commercial farmers can sign up, but also folks who just want to learn about food in Alaska, who love food, who want to start growing their own garden, or maybe they have a home garden. It's really for anyone that wants to connect with farmers or other people that love growing in this rainy climate that we have here in Southeast Alaska.
Yeah, I don't even know what's perfect. I know there's a lot of things that are perfect for it, but so it's really for anyone who. Now, is there going to be any sort of virtual option? Like if somebody isn't around, is there going to be some Zoom stuff or is it pretty much an in-person event?
Yeah, we have a focus on the in-person because we love to have some workshops that are more hands-on and discussion-based so that people can connect in person. But we are going to be broadcasting a few of our presentations via Zoom. And if you visit that website link that you mentioned earlier, then it will have links to a Zoom for the presentations that we are going to be broadcasting virtually.
I gotcha. Okay. And is there a cost for registration?
Yes, there is. So we have different levels of tickets. We have a locals only option for folks that live in Juneau that don't need meals included in their summit registration. That starts at $130. And then tickets go up from there for folks who are outside of the region. And we have tickets that include all meals, all 3 days, and then also some lodging options.
I see. Okay. And can you give us like an idea? I know that the schedule is posted on the website. We're talking about the Southeast Alaska Farmers Summit happening on February 20th through the 22nd. And you can find out more at sekfarmerssummit.com. Can you give us a little idea of what kinds of things will be happening? I see morning farmer yoga on there.
Yes.
that's happening. So there's going to be like group events, but also some of the can you give us a rundown of some of the workshops and stuff that'll be going on?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a really exciting and engaging mix of different type of events that we're going to have. Morning yoga is a highlight, of course. We're going to be bringing in some experts to talk about cool topics like salmon safe farming. We're going to have a tribal agriculture panel. And we'll have farmers coming in from all over to share their expertise on different exciting things like biochar. And then we also have some workshops and discussions such as like a farm tool share where folks will be bringing in their favorite farm tools and we'll be looking at those. And we'll also have an exciting storytelling event, which is the session that I'm most looking forward to, where farmers are going to be telling their biggest flops, their biggest achievements, and that will just be a great time to share and connect with each other.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds so fun. Yeah, like figuring out what did you, because you can, we can laugh at ourselves after it's all done, right? Like, when we make those mistakes. And are you a green thumb, as they say, yourself?
I wish I was. I'm not yet. I haven't, coming from New York and I was living in a little shoebox apartment, I didn't have a ton of space to grow. But now connecting with so many farmers in organizing this conference, I've been inspired too, for sure.
Were you living in the city?
I was, yes. I was living in Brooklyn.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know. It's so funny. You know, you see like pictures of folks who live back east and especially in New York City, and they have like their tiniest little, you know, window boxes that they hang out, whatever tiny window they have, or a little herb garden that they have in their kitchen with a little grow light, because it's just not as enough space. Or people do like the community gardens, right, where they pick up a plot of a little plot of something and can grow, you know, a patch of, you know, carrots or potatoes or whatever it is that they would be interested in growing. That's really kind of cool. And so your responsibility on this endeavor from Spruce Root is, what is your title again? What do you do?
Yeah, so I'm the Community Development Fellow. And what Spruce Root does broadly, just to give some background, is community development throughout Southeast Alaska to support a more regenerative and sustainable economy. And so I kind of do all things under that umbrella to support that mission. And it involves helping with logistics and organizing for this event. So that's what my responsibility has been
here.
I
see. Okay, that's a lot of work.
It is, yes. It's a lot of little things to handle, but it's been so fun talking to different farmers and helping folks come from all around to get to Juneau. It's been great to see how many people are excited to come out and learn at the summit together.
Yeah, that'll be really interesting. And this is this the first of its kind, or has this thing been going on for a while?
This has been going on. Now, this is its 10th year, so we're in the 10th anniversary. It's gone through lots of different iterations, and it happens every 2 years. The last one was in 2023, and before that, in 2021, it was canceled because of COVID and moved all virtually. So I think people are very excited to be back in person together, and we're really excited to have it in Juneau, where it's accessible to a lot of people. We're going to be at the beautiful Chapel by the Lake. So yeah, this is the 10th version. It's getting bigger, better, more exciting. It's beautiful to see how people are excited for this summit every year that it comes.
Yeah, that's going to be really nice. And yeah, Chapel by the Lake is so beautiful. And it sounds like it's going to be a wonderful event. I'm assuming that the team from Spruce Root, those, I know we have members from Spruce Root all over Southeast Alaska, but I'm assuming that you get the opportunity to visit Juneau. Will that be the first time for you to visit Juneau?
It will be the first time I'm visiting Juneau outside of the airport. So yes. Because I don't think the airport counts. So
no,
really
airports don't count. Well, we look forward to seeing you February 20th through the 22nd for the Southeast Alaska Farmers Summit. You can find out more at Southeast Alaska Farmers Summit. SEAK, farmerssummit.com is the website. You might see a flyer around town, too, that has a QR code on it. I'll also be posting links for all of the things you're hearing on today's show on our website for this episode. And as the Community Develop Fellow, a last question for you, Haley, is you're spending a year here with us. Is that how long you'll be in Southeast?
My fellowship is 9 months. I've already decided to stay a year here and maybe two because I'm loving it so much.
Awesome. That's what happens to folks. They come and then they realize how awesome it is. And what is your eventual hope to be? Do you want to work in community development continually or what do you want to do?
That's the question. I am still figuring out.
I feel you on that. Yeah, it's always fun to figure out what that journey is. But, I mean, Spruce Root's a great organization, and you're getting a wonderful introduction to Alaska. So thanks for coming on the radio today and telling us all about it. I really appreciate it. It was really fun to talk to you. Gunnath Cheesh.
Thanks for having me on.
That will do it for today's Juno Afternoon. On tomorrow's show, a preview of Festival of the Dog, a rock and hip-hop show happening this weekend in Juno. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay 91.7. Hello, out the road. Find the show online at kto.org/JunoAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, offer feedback or suggestions, or find out how to be a guest on the show. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Juno Afternoon is a project of the KTOO Arts and Culture team. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Gunnath Cheesh, and have a joyous Juno evening.